Hello and welcome to a Burkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast. I'm Guna Gimli and tonight my guests are... First up, he's had a shave, so now he's just fat. He still has to be here. It's Danny.
Oh, have you seen the state of my pictures I've been sending you? Bloody... Oh, strangers are walking past my house offering me 10p for a cup of tea. It's disgusting.
You look like such a gypsy.
Well, there you go. That's what I do. Oh, this week I identify myself as a Zorse. I am part zebra, part horse, and I will be offended if you don't refer to me as that, as that's my choice.
The Zorse.
I'll have you up before the Hague.
Sounds like you've been on the Zorse.
Hey!
Hey! Next up, our very own Wizard of Goz, it's Dom.
Goz?
Goz?
Goz.
What's Goz?
Goz, it's another word for spunk.
No, it isn't!
Yes, it is.
You spunk trumpet.
It is now.
Yeah, now I've had to explain that to people and I've lowered the tone. It was just a dirty joke, but now, you know. Anyway, how are you? You all right?
Yeah. I'm doing well. Got a late call up. It's taken two of us to replace Fife tonight, so hopefully we can step up to the plate.
To be honest with you, I'm not very happy with Andrew.
Bad man.
No one ever is.
No.
He's gonna have to pay my happiness.
But it is his birthday, so you have to be nice.
Oh, happy birthday, Fife.
It's always that cunt's birthday. Right, next up, our very own Archbishop of Banterbury. It's Jason Davis.
Hello!
Again, why do we invite this prick back?
Oh, no.
I tell you what, okay, I didn't realise Danny had done work with Candy Stanton.
Who?
Candy Stanton.
What's this with people making jokes that no one else gets?
You've got the love. Stanley can. Oh, never mind.
Move it on.
Yeah, I'll go on.
Jeez, I just hope the next guest makes more sense.
Oh, geez,
I think we can rely on him.
You'd have to hope so. And finally, last but by no means least, our next guest be fighting off the Wenger out with an extremely shitty stick. It's Jeff Arsenal. Hello, Jeff.
I don't know what's happened to this podcast since I left it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, but blimey, it's gone to pot, mate, I'm telling you. What's happening with all these people coming and making jokes and everything else?
I've not got a clue, Jace. Jeff, oh, fuck.
Oh, you fucked that up.
Yeah, it's seriously. it's about time we go over to Danny then, our very own brother Buddha, with all of the scores across the board, a lone watch and injuries.
Yeah, I'm going to try and
just do injuries.
Going to try and get through this as quick as possible because my washing machine's decided to go into spin cycle, but it is in the hallway cupboard. Right, so God, our reserve policy is absolutely bloody pointless. Right, Damian Martinez, unused sub. Ashley Maitland-Niles,
conservative,
unused sub. Chupa Chup Apcom, unused sub. Isaac Hayden, not in the squad. Yaya Sano goals suspended. Glenn Kamara, not in the squad. Gideon Zelalem,
nah.
Not in the squad. Matthew Debuchy. Torn muscles. So, John Terrell, he started the game in the Sanchez role. And Birmingham drew 1-1 at home to Fulham. Muted myself there while I burped. Lovely, that's classy. Wellington the Boot Silver, he came on for the last 7 minutes and made a hell of a difference for Bolton as they lost 6-0 at Bristol City. Chesney started as Roma drew 1-1 at home with Inter Milan. There you go. That's the loan roundup. What's the bloody point? Depressing. The under-21s didn't play. The ladies don't start until, I think, Monday. The under-18s lost 2-1 away at Man City in the FA Cup Youth semi-final. FA Cup Youth semi-final? You know what I mean. You can get those words, put them in the right order. And, yeah, that's it as far as the loans go. And the injury watch, Flamini, he says thigh. They don't know when he's be back. Jack, they said he's back any day now, but I think Jeff has got some wise words on that. Mezut, I didn't even know he was injured, and it says they're not sure when he's going to be back. He's got ankle. Santi Cazorla, back any day now. Petacek, any day now. Aaron Ramsey, 2 weeks. I bet he'll be back straight after the international games, if we have any sense. The Ox, 4 weeks with his knee. Thomas Rosicky, they've turned him into sausages. And Carl Jenkinson only has one leg.
Wow.
Well, there you go, that's everything. I mean, that's the quickest I've ever done it.
That's absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
So, just the one game to discuss this week, and that comes in the way of our 2-0 away win at Everton. Jace, would you like to talk us through this one?
Oh, right, OK.
Get your phone away from the laptop, Jace, sending yourself dirty pictures.
Sorry, bro.
That's it.
I tell you what, say hello to your mum for me.
I will do. She says hello. I played my brother the message I sent you.
Oh, you little bastard, you.
My brother liked it.
Oh, sorry, we're going off track. I do apologise. Yes. Right, okay, Goodison, normally pretty tough place to go. Was expecting a bit of a tougher game. To be fair, first 5 minutes, I thought Everton started quite well. They had a bit of direction to them. With Elneny and Cochrane playing deep, we soaked up all the pressure. Then we started to play a bit on the break and what have you. We looked really tidy going forward. A defensive error by, is it Besic or whatever the boy's name is? Coming out the defensive line allowed Welbeck to go through on goal. We'd kept the ball really well up to then. Great pass. I can't remember who passed. It was a Wobi. I think it may have been a Wobi put him through. Fantastic finish around the keeper. Great 1-0 up. We looked really decent.
It was Sanchez. Sanchez put him
through. Oh, Sanchez. Sorry. Thank you. We looked really decent for the rest of the first half without capitalising on it. Again, some poor finishing. But, you know, we always looked dangerous going forward. It Wobi looked bang tidy, to be fair to him. Elneny, neat and tidy all game. Neat and tidy. Decent back and forth. Without being spectacular, just a perfect little link, man. We had some Sanchez pressing hard and high, really doing well, putting them under pressure. Ozil was good without being great. Welbeck, fantastic work rate, fantastic work ethic. Finishing, I know he's got 4 in 8, but, you know, he needs to up that, if you know what I mean. And then it was a long ball forward where it will be, you know, had the ambition to make a run. I think it's Bellerin who slotted it onwards from our own half. He scampered up there and great little finish with you had Ozil on the far left-hand side as another option, but he had the confidence to take it on and grab him his first Premier League goal in his full debut. Fantastic second half. Much ado about nothing. We were compact. We didn't need to try too hard. And the game kind of petered out, you know. They were poor because we were good, in my opinion. I thought they put some decent little passages together without being very good. But defensively, they're poor and we should have capitalised on that a bit more. You know, I think with some better finishing, we could have won that 4 or 5 nil. You know, they struggled with our high press. And it was really nice to see Sanchez's work rate. Really good to see a Wobi have a really good full debut. And it was nice to see us, you know, get back to winning ways.
Definitely so. I think our first topic of conversation, a Wobi aside, has got to be Danny Welbeck and the emergence since his injury. Jeff, he's come back and he's done really, really well. A lot of people wanted him to start this game and he didn't let us down, did he?
No, he's looked bright ever since he's come back in. He's used a cliche. He has hit the ground running. Even when he hasn't scored, he's contributed a lot. And it just gives us a different outlook. And, you know, maybe it's that time where we needed a little bit of freshening up to maybe boost us for the back end of the season. And he's come in and he's done a fantastic job. He's been really, really good. I mean, he's all round play. He's a good player. He can play, you know, he's got tricks. He's good on the ball. He's intelligent. He makes fantastic runs. And when he plays up top, he's a natural centre forward. What you get with Oli Giroud is everything is always going to be played in front of him. With Danny Welbeck, you really don't know. He can run in behind as well. So, you know, and he runs in the lines and he's got great enthusiasm. He's got a great engine. He's got good pace. You know, it's just, there's not really a lot more that I can say about the lad. He's done really, really well. And hopefully he can continue it, you know.
And his work rate since he's come back has been absolutely superb, Dom. We'll come to you next when I ask, are the fans right to be asking for him to now be starting ahead of Walcott and Giroud? Have we got to go with form and play our informed players? Or do we, you know, just go back to playing Giroud or sticking with the ever-anonymous Walcott?
Well, I think that, you know, logic would dictate that you go with the hot shoe, as it is at the moment with Danny Welbeck. And, you know, I can't really see a case for either Theo or Giroud starting at the moment. But perhaps Giroud could start certain games that may suit, you know, depending on other positions as well, you know. Like, I know that Giroud does really well if Ramsey and Ozil are both playing. They seem to link up really well together. With Ramsey out at the moment, then, you know, that link kind of disappears a little bit. And at the moment, Welbeck's got his tail up, and I think it's probably not the worst thing in the world to have a guy out there that's putting people like Giroud and Walcott on the bench, and they can sit there and watch and have to really work their socks off to make sure that when they do get the opportunity to go out there and play, that they take it.
You know, Giroud's. Can I ask you a question, Dom? Sorry to cut across you there. Have you got to be a little bit careful with him, with his knee? You know, can you play him for 90 minutes and can, you know?
Yeah, no, I think you got a point. I think at the moment, because it is still fresh from the injury, and bone bruising is one of these really, really tricky injuries to sort of return from, because you don't know how he's going to be pulling up after each game. He could be absolutely fine, or he could be complaining of soreness after every time he goes out and puts in 90 minutes. So, you know, there might be a case for rotating at the moment and perhaps, you know, starting someone else and giving him a rest. And if we are 2-0 up, then you don't need to bring him on and he gets a full game off. Or if you do need to bring him on, perhaps you can bring him on a bit earlier than the standard 70-minute mark. But it's definitely something that I think that they'll have to be a little bit careful of because of the injury that he did have.
Mm. And, Jace, where do you stand on this? Are you a fan of Olivier Giroud? Walcott, for you, do you think he deserves another chance? Or do you go with as Dom said, the hot shoe?
I think you've got to go with the boy in the hot streak, haven't you? And, you know, look, as far as I'm concerned, Theo Walcott, what's he going to do? Is he going to hide again? You know, all too often you don't see enough effort from the boy, and we know we can do it. He's proven that against Bayern Munich and Man United, you know. But, you know, I think his character's got to be called into question. He's been at the club 10 years, had enough chances. I'm done with him. Giroud, he needs to find his scoring boots, but, you know, hopefully he'll react in a good way to being dropped and come back. But you've got to pick a man on form. You've just got to. You know, there aren't that many games left, and we've got to go out to try to win each and every single one of them. You know, Tottenham and Leicester have got some tough games coming up. You know, we may have the easier of the run-ins. I know it's, you know, if we win our game in hand, there's still 8 points we've got to drag back, but I've seen bigger deficits met. So we've really got to go out there with a proper attitude to win every game. And Theo Walcott doesn't show that attitude. Danny Welbeck does.
Mm, very true. And another player that seems to show that attitude is our wonder kid, Iwobi. He scored on his first full Premier League start. So just how much of a prospect is he, Danny?
Oh, he looks absolutely brilliant. I was thinking, if you would have slotted in, it reminds, someone's asked a question about this, but it reminds me a little bit of Serge Gnabry. Oh, Gnabry. I think someone told me you do pronounce the G in German when you say it in German.
Yeah, you do.
All right, well, like, you know, you barely speak English. So then I was thinking, if you put the Gnabry in that situation, running one-on-one with the Mori bloke at centre-back, who is a half-decent defender, who's in his first season after coming from, I think it was Argentina, he looks really, really good. And if you'd have put Theo Walcott in there, he'd have shit his pants, and the ball would have gone off, or he'd have knocked him over, and the same with the Ox. The Ox would have tried to dribble round him. He'd have done like Curl on the Seal, the Brazilian player, and he'd have run down and tried to do all these tricks. No. And then all Iwobi does is go, I'm going to go and score this. No panic. I mean, he's never scored a goal for Arsenal before, which is brilliant, and he was so composed. And the build-up to that goal was amazing. I watched it back 5 times this afternoon. It goes like Iwobi, and then Sanchez, and then Ozil, then Elneny, and then Cochrane. About 5 or 6 of them all touching it. It wasn't in HD, so I couldn't see who was doing what, but I managed to watch it backwards from when Iwobi scored the goal. And you watch him going back, he had something to do with the build-up, and the vision that he had was fantastic. He's like someone who's been playing in the first team for years if he's doing that, and he carried on doing it for the rest of the game until I think, was he taken off? He was taken off. Where was he taken off? Why doesn't Who Scored ever tell you who was subbed for who? That just says they were subbed. I thought he was brilliant. Coquelin was brilliant for me in midfield as well. He's definitely coming back into the kind of form he was roughly about this time last season, when no one really expected him to do much, because when he came back from injury this season, he was a bit dodgy in a few games. I think the Coquelin-Elneny partnership in central midfield is working really, really well. Because Elneny, like we saw, has got an eye for goal. I've said that since the first time I saw him play. He's got a goal or two in him, which looks really good. And I think that takes the pressure off of the likes of Sanchez and Ozil when you've got those two playing behind you and you've got Iwobi out on the wing. And it's also nice to see Iwobi started on the left and then he went over to the right when he scored that goal. And so Sanchez is getting to play both sides. So rather rather than just Sanchez having to do his usual run down the left wing, cut in on his right foot, and then try and do something, he can then play on the right-hand side, and then, we all know, run down the right-hand side and either cut in or cross it. Yeah, it's just brilliant. Welbeck is looking like the kind of player that we've wanted for him the whole time that he's been with us, and it must be nice for the manager to be able to rest Giroud, although Giroud won't want to be rested. And I don't think Walcott's going to be starting another game for us ever, because I reckon he'll be off in the summer, which is some questions we've got coming up late. Got some really good questions. Quite a few of them have been running out of stuff to talk about. And I think we should also doff our cap to Ospina. Another good game, another clean sheet, even though he knows as soon as Petr Cech is coming back, he's out on his arse. So, yeah, well done, Ospina. In fact, well done the entire team. I know Everton have lost 6 out of their last 9 home games. And my mate Dean, who's the Everton fan, said he's not surprised that we lost. And also, something else I heard on the radio, there was no bookings at all in this game. And Arsenal and Everton are at the bottom of the league for a number of yellow cards. It's very rare you see a Premier League game without any yellow cards.
There should have been bookings. Oh, yeah, there
could have been a couple. Best was that the Sanchez penalty? Books.
Well, yeah there was the Sanchez one. Yeah, yeah, you know, and there was a trip from behind as well. You know,
there was no. Did it give a referee a rating?
Was that Clatterburg?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Clattenburg was the referee. He doesn't give a referee rating, but yeah, it's just odd to see no bookings in a game. I'm getting a little bit of feedback there. Who's playing with stuff?
No,
you behave yourself, all of you. Yeah, that's me, Dungim.
Okay, so we'll carry on with Iwobi then. We've seen like players like him come and fail to achieve, Ox and Walcott, and I think maybe to a large extent Jack Wilshere too. So Dom, what makes you think that Iwobi is going to make the grade at Arsenal, or do you not think that he's going to make the grade?
I'm not sure, to be honest. You know, there's so many kids that have come through. It's so, like, you know, Jeff's mentioned this before, it's so difficult for these kids to come. You don't get too many chances, and the only thing that he's been able to do so far is take those chances and give the manager a bit of a headache to keep playing him, because if you have a couple of bad games in a row and a Joel Campbell gets back in, or we buy in the summer, you know, then that's him done, because we've seen people like Danielson, we've seen Gnabry, we've seen Ox, we've seen Theo, we've seen a lot of young kids come through where we've expected big things from them and they just haven't kicked on for one reason or another. So, you know, I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. As for all the good things that he's done, I think he, you know, there's been a few times where his decision making hasn't been fantastic, which will come with time and will come with experience. And, you know, I'm not trying to be too negative about the kid. I just want to make sure that he has the chance to develop properly without the pressure that I guess the fans can put people under after one or two good performances. But he looks really good with the ball at his feet. He looks really strong. He looks like he can, you know, he looks like a bit of a mixture between Theo and the Ox, because Ox is great with dribbling the ball, but he has no end product, and Theo can't really dribble past people, but seems to be able to get in behind and score. And he's shown flashes of being able to do both, which is quite nice. But there's just been a few times, I guess, that his decision-making where he probably should have lifted his head up and picked a pass out a little earlier. I know I've seen Ozil shake his head a couple of times that he could have been on the end of some good runs and Iwobi's missed. But, you know, he gets back, he tracks back, he's doing everything that he needs to do at the moment. So I'm just want to reserve my excitement for a little while until we give the kid enough time to settle in and play consistently enough, because it's a position I think he's up for grabs at the moment, is either, you know, the opposite wing to what Sanchez is on. Theo is not really made a claim for it. Ox, when he played, was neither here nor there. Joel Campbell, I think, has been a little bit stiff to be dropped when he has been. He doesn't seem to do a whole lot wrong. But yeah, Iwobi's got his chance against Barcelona, did well, and got his chance again on the weekend and did well. So, look, I guess it's just a matter of just letting the kid develop, you know, not putting him up in too much pressure. I know that Jace probably has a little bit of a similar view, Jace.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I mean, I can't stand us when we tag them a wonder kid and what have you. You know, you look at Iwobi's performance on Saturday, he played well. He played really well, okay? But, you know, there was an air shot or an air pass where he's totally missed the ball. There are some poor passes in there as well, some really poor decision-making. But as Dom said, you know, that'll come with time. You know, he needs time to just, you know, develop his game and what have you. He needs to be left alone to enjoy his football and just develop naturally. We need to keep his feet on the ground. You know, the one thing he's got over Theo and thing. He plays heads up football. He's making bad decisions, but at least they're just poor decisions that he'll rectify with time. But, you know, his head's up. He's looking for options. He's going to miss them. He's 19, you know. He's getting the grips of the game. He's getting the grips of the pace of the Premier League. And I'm sure, you know, he's got all the potential to come good. Is he going to keep his feet on the ground? And, you know, so let's not over-egg the boy. Let's not overhype him. Let's just, you know, appreciate him for what he is. He's a good young prospect. But, you know, come the summer, we're all going to want big names coming to the Arsenal. We're all going to want money spent. Is he going to become the victim of that as well? So, you know, sometimes they can't win.
No, and that's very true, Jason. But looking at the here and now, in terms of Alex Iwobi, he's got good footballing pedigree with his uncle being JJ Okocha. Jeff, is he exactly what the fans need right now? You know, we've been dumped out of two trophies. You know, the league looks to be a stretch too far. You know, is he a reason for the fans to be excited?
Yeah, of course he is. There's no doubt about that. We're everyone's looking for something to pick us up. But I think Dom summed it up really, really well. We must just let the guy go and play his football and don't expect too much from him, because we do this all the time. The list of players that we can reel off that we've put up on a pedestal very, very early when they're very, very young, and all of a sudden, you know, they don't. You know, they disappoint you after six or seven games. At the moment, he's got a honeymoon period. He just got in the first team. He's so enthusiastic. He wants to do everything. He's got plenty of confidence. And, you know, he looks like he's a proper player. You know, he can play football. He's got a great engine. Again, similar to what I was saying to you earlier on. You know, he just needs to... He's got a lot to learn, a lot of positional stuff that he's got to get to grips with. And by getting the game time in the big matches, that's fantastic. I mean, he's had a couple of outings against Barcelona and again the weekend at Everton. Those type of games, although you are still under pressure, you're playing against teams that do let you play a little bit. You know, they'll allow you the ball for a little while. It's going to be difficult for him. That's why we'll play in them type of games. I'm not sure that Wenger will play him against the, you know, like the Stokes and the players, because you don't ever get no time, and you'll just get clumped straight off the ball, you know. So they're going to have to protect him a little bit, because he's definitely a ball player. He can dribble with the ball. He looks like he's got the lot. But it's just let him play his game. Let's not put him on too much of a pedestal, and to see how he develops, I think.
Wise words from you again, G. I feel another player that we should be talking about as well is David Ospina. Since he's come in, he's been fairly solid. As Danny, you've said in this podcast, you know, he must know that when Petacek comes back, he's gonna be second choice again. But surely, you know, his recent good form has got to sign the transfer request of Wojciech Szczesny, hasn't it, Danny?
Oh, got to be. Although Wojciech Szczesny has played, I think, 9 games in Serie A at the moment, and they'd won 8 and then they drew the other one. So he is like a bit of a backbone of that team, who were fighting for the title early on in the season, and now that then they faltered. I mean, they were down to about 5th or 6th, and I think now they're back up in the top 3. So we're not going to keep him, because he's not going to, unless we do another season loan. But I think you could probably get best part of 10 million for him, because I'm sure he's got to be close to being the Polish number one. He's doing well in Italy, and I think the Italian game suits him. But he's even had problems over in Italy with the manager. I think he's been caught smoking again. He's just been a bit of a twat, and I don't think he's one of those players that's never really going to learn his lesson. But yeah, he's got to go, because for me, I'd love to have Ospina as second choice. But then, but Martinez, who's on loan at Wolverhampton Wanderers, he's not playing any games after getting injured partway through the season, where he had finally got the number one spot. And I think other than that, we've got the young bloke Macy, and we've got Ryan Huddart as well. And those two, they've not really got Arsenal written all over them, have they? So it's going to be.
But Macy has signed a new deal this week, hasn't he? If I read correctly.
Yeah, but I think that Jack made the point recently. He said that Iwobi's the first player since him to have played to come through the club from the age of the under nines. I think we've got such a piss poor record when it comes to bringing players through.
I don't know about you guys, but when Ospina went down, and he looked like he was going to go off. He looked like he'd just been lamped, mate. I can't understand how he carried on. And even he was limping for five minutes, wasn't he, or something like that. But at the time, and when we looked over and Macy was there and he was warming up, I just had a terrible fear. I don't know why. I don't know what it was. I thought, oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought it'd been nice for Macy to have come on, because otherwise he's never going to get a first team game, is he?
Pressure game, though, mate.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny, boys. I had more fear when Ospina came for that first corner after he got injured.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to know. He was all over the place. And, you know, to be fair, David Ospina's done great since he's come in, since Cech's been injured. You know, he's not dropping the ball in the area. He's been tidy. He's made some great saves. But I just don't understand why they didn't take him off. That's bizarre.
Is there anyone here that thinks Chesney has a future at Arsenal? No, it's a legitimate question. I mean, back in the day, when he made those two saves against Liverpool, we were all crowning him as the next David Seaman.
Opening a hashish shop.
I still think that he's unbelievably talented. I just think that he doesn't have the mentality to do it. I just think, like you said, he's always playing up. He doesn't learn his lesson, and he just doesn't seem like the personality that's going to be able to make the most of his abilities.
He's a talented fuckwit, I think.
Yeah. No disrespect to Chesney, but the feeling is that he's chalk and cheese with Ospina with regards to professionalism on the training pitch and preparation for the match. So that really tells you that. I know Chesney's got a lot to do and he's got a lot of years to play yet. And he's got a lot to catch up on, but you know, apparently Ospina's a superb professional. He's great with the lads, and you know, he just gets on with his job. Whereas Chesney was he'd always be fucking about and acting the goat and bits and pieces.
But come on, boys, you know, I'm not being funny. He loses his place at Arsenal, you know, after a terrible display at Southampton, gets caught smoking in the showers. He goes to Roma, gets caught smoking in the showers again. What kind of dickhead do you have to be to do that twice?
I think we've said many times that although Chesney is the better goalkeeper, Ospina is the better pro, who is currently playing for Colombia and they're 1-0 up against Bolivia.
I don't necessarily think that Chesney is the better goalkeeper. I think Ospina's the better goalkeeper.
Well, yeah, I think if you had
Ospina's professionalism in Chesney's body, you'd have a better goalkeeper than Ospina. Yeah. I think he's got natural ability than what Ospina has, but he'll never achieve it because he just doesn't put the effort in that someone like Ospina does. You see it all the time, you know. You see some really talented kids that come through systems and they rely on their natural raw ability and then they get found out. Yeah, exactly. They get found out when it comes to the pros, and you've got guys that are willing to work, you know, day and night.
I think
we've had a few.
Yeah, but see, but you look at it, boys. Okay, you know, you look at something like Beckham. Okay, not the most talented footballer in the world, but my God, you're knocking out working with the training pitch. And, you know, all of a sudden, 100-plus England caps. You know, regular goal scorer from dead ball situation. Very rarely put a poor ball in the box, you know, whether from open play or from a set piece. You know, and people don't take on board the fact that, you know, he stays behind 2 hours after training to practice. You know, talk about underappreciated, the value of hard work and the lesson he could be for every pro out there, and yet people still don't follow that lesson. It beggars belief for me.
Didn't we have someone on at one point a few years ago who said that they knew one of the young Arsenal lads? It might have been Craig Eastman or something like that, and he was more concerned about getting his $3,500 a week than he was about his football career, and now he's doing nothing with his life.
Probably more interested in going down Nando's, that dickhead.
I'm not sure if it was Eastman, so if you're listening, hello.
Craig.
Yeah.
Enjoy your peri-peri.
I mean, never been to that chicken place and never likely to go. I've got no idea. But, yeah, it was one of those young players. And I know that if at the age of 16, 17, 18, or when 17 when they sign a pro contract at Arsenal, if I was on $3,500 a week, I wouldn't give a shit about anything but the money. Because at that age, you don't have the ability to see into the future and see that you really need to knuckle down and work your ass off, which I think sums up why the English national team is so poor at the moment. So many players that are unwilling to work and work at their game.
Well, the problem is with it, Danny, is what you tried, what you said earlier with Walcott and Ox, is if Arsenal sell them, then they're probably going to go for 25 million apiece because English players command more money. But where do you get the replacements from? You know, a club like Man City comes in for Oxlade-Chamberlain, he immediately goes on 100 grand a week. Do you know what I mean? There's just around these players within the national team, there's too much big money. Was it Honigstein we had on? I think it was about the second show when he was talking about German youngsters and them having a salary cap until they got to a certain age because there was a certain element of the players going in and out and either pissing it up against the wall or being too frivolous with their cash or, you know.
That's how we managed to get the likes of Torao and Fabregas and all that from Spain because they're not allowed to sign a professional contract at 17 like they are here.
You know, if people are listening to this, go back to the podcast we had with Honigstein. He explains it superbly and he basically says why Germany always bring quality players through, because it's not about the money, it's about the love for the game from such an early age, and that's what they're taught.
But they also have better foundations in Germany with the amount of coaches that they have that are the A-level coaches in comparison to the UK. And, you know, that's something that I was talking about in the WhatsApp group when you were asking for questions for tonight. I was asking about the English core and why has it been such a failure. Personally, I think that the English talent's just a bit shit, and the English media overhype the crap out of every single English kid that comes through. And the truth be told is that English talent is just not that good. You know, and there's no flair, there's no freedom in any of the kids. You know, you've got Gary Neville saying that he would have two-footed Rzyski if he saw him playing Phil that no-look pass. Phil Neville, sorry. That he would have two-footed Rzyski when he played that no-look pass to Giroud in that game. And then, to me, I just went, well, there's your problem right there, England, because any type of flair, any type of freedom and expression in their football and love for the game gets kicked out of them because, oh, that's not how we do it here. And it just seems that, you know, there's a reason that you guys do so fucking terribly every time there's a World Cup or Euros, because the media make you think that you're a lot better than what you actually are. Fact is that there are, you know, at least a dozen South American teams, and then you've got probably a dozen European teams that would eat you for breakfast in a competition, and they do.
I think it's also a large part of it of why England fails so spectacularly on the international stage. It's because the FA cut money into grassroots football for like the last 3 or 4 years. They've reduced the amount they put into grassroots football. And, you know, these players aren't going to come from nowhere. You know, half the people that I speak to that either have teams or run their own teams do purely off their own back. There's no funding there. They do what they do purely for their love of the game. You know, they have players playing, you know, subs and having to pay to play. And it shouldn't be like that. Do you know what I mean? If we had a reasonable crop of youngsters, the fact that players like Harry Kane, who, for me, and I'm not just saying it because he's Tottenham, I think he is actually bang average. And I think in a league more difficult than the English one, he would get shown up left, right, and centre.
Hold up, Kim.
No, Jason.
He's got 20 goals in the Premier League. He's got 20 Premier League goals a season, okay?
Two seasons in a row now.
Yeah. Okay,
but so's Jamie Vardy, and look where he was.
Hey, that doesn't matter. You know, they got 20 Premier League goals a season. How much has Oli Giroud got? Okay? You know, how much has, you know, Costa got at Chelsea? The problem with English football is, okay, because of the premium on English players, you're paying sky-high money for mediocrity. Right? That's the truth of the matter. You're paying tens of millions of pounds for mediocrity. Right? And there's too much money in the Premier League now. You get too many foreign players. And, you know, it's just the Premier League's got its head up its arse about it, and clubs are struggling to find players who want to think about football more than they want to think about an Aston Martin. That's the truth, okay? There's no ambition, okay? It's all about how much. Oh, I can sign a big, I can be a millionaire before I'm 20 years of age. Well, you know, all well and good, but you'll have two or three seasons, and then you'll have a bar in Spain or whatever it is. I don't care, you know, but you can't knock Harry Kane. As much as I hate him, as much as I despise him, the guy knows where the back of the net is. And I'll tell you one thing, if we had him this season, we'd be 12, 15 points better off.
I really don't.
At the end of last season, I kept on hearing people say he'll get found out next season. I said that, and I was wrong. And I tell you what, boys, okay, he got 20 Premier League goals, and there's still 8 games to go.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with the numbers in the back of the net. Jeff, I want to know what Jeff thinks about the whole English, especially with the cost of these players now, and is it going to affect the transfer policy of clubs?
I just think that they're overrated. I don't think England, as a football team, that group of players, it's mostly the best now as of the last few years. We've got some decent quality coming through, but they are definitely overrated. All them players that you're going to reel off, they've not got 50 caps between them. You know, your Harry Kane, your Vardy, your Dele Alli, all them players like that. You can't put them into a tournament. They crumble. They don't know what tournament plays like for international. You know, they're going to have to play plenty of games. But I do agree. We're overrated. To be honest with you, I don't think Wayne Rooney would... If I was picking the team, I wouldn't even take him. I don't think
Is absolute dog shit and has been this season. He has been for the last couple.
Yeah, but like you said, I just don't think the English players are technically good enough. They're not. They're just not good enough anymore, unfortunately.
But do you think, Jeff, that lack of funding into grassroots football is down to that? Do you think that's the main the way that football is run in this country and the way the money's dispersed from the top downwards?
We haven't got enough. That's a part of it, yeah. But we haven't got enough top quality coaches. Coaching the coaches. That's where the problem lies.
I remember Arsene Wenger saying actually about the what he thought with that particular question, and he said that he finds it strange that the English players and the English kids don't learn to kick on their opposite foot until they're 10 or 12 or even later, and hence you have Jack Wilshere that's so left-footed, I don't think that he knows what his right foot is. In other countries and other places, they're kicking on their opposite foot from 3 years old. And so the technical differences in the South American player, I mean, I've just come back from South America. Those kids have got footballs attached to their feet walking around. They don't go to school. They just play football all day. That's probably why they're so good. But
that's the difference, though. That is the difference.
Yeah, they kick footballs all the time and they're encouraged to do flaring, you know, to have a bit of freedom in the way that they do things. I just don't see the same thing with the English style of football coming through. And maybe that is a big thing. Like you said, if these kids aren't getting taught to kick on their opposite foot until they're 10 or 12, they're half their development's already, you know, 5 years behind.
But you look at it. We did that pod last year where we looked at grassroots football and what have you, and did a bit of research on that. So, you know, the number of certified coaches in Germany is 3,000 plus. In England, it's 300, okay? And that's for your youth levels. That's in the whole of the country. There are 3,000 in Germany. There's 300 in England. Then you go down, you know, all the schools are selling off playing fields for money, okay? Then you go to watch an under-10s game in this country. There are parents screaming for fucking blood on the sidelines. It's ludicrous. You know, it's just a nonsense. Instead of the kids being able to go out and enjoy the game, there's so much pressure on them. On the local park, you go down to your local park and you watch some of these muppets screaming on the side of the pitch. It's lunacy. It's absolute lunacy. But, you know, when it comes down to quality coaches, etc., Germany got it right 20 years ago when they decided to sort out the coaching side of it. And the English have just let it rot.
Mm. We'll move on from that topic. And one of the topics after the Everton game was more banners were yet unfurled. I want to try and gauge some reaction from this. Jeff, ever since the whole banner thing, I'm not going to give the guy's name just because the media exposure that he's had already is fucking makes me want to be sick already. But, Jeff, that banner, your thoughts?
Listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. And, you know, they pay their money, you know, that they're entitled to. But I personally think that whilst you're still in the competition to win the league, I honestly can't see any positive coming out of it when you've just won a game? It's been two games on a trot now. We've won really well. You've just won a game. Everyone's the players. I'm thinking about. They're all up. They're very, very. You know, they're all excited that they've won the game, and it's, you know, they're still in it. They're all fighting together. They've got that team spirit, and they're going over to clap the fans. And I said, his great big banner unfurled. That's obviously having a go at the manager. It's obviously saying that they want him out of the club. And you know, although you know, it makes it look the whole stand has got that same opinion. Now that's so negative. It's just such a negative thought, and because then players will go home at night, and in the back of their mind they'll think, "Hold on a minute. If he's going to get the sack, he brought me to the club. This man, if he's going to get the sack, you know, I wonder what my position is going to be." I don't want them thinking nothing like that. I want them to go home and they've enjoyed their win. Go home and concentrate on the next game. I understand that people want the manager out. That's fair enough. As everyone's entitled to their own opinion, right? We've all got different opinions. But I don't think you need anything like that anywhere near the grounds, at least until we're out of all competitions. And then if you want to have your rare up, you're entitled to do that. That's my honest opinion on it.
Jeff? Honest question, straight at you, and just answer it off the bat. How much of it do you actually think is down to the look at me Twitter ego with some of these fans rather than trying to voice a legitimate opinion? Do you think there's too much look at me? Obviously, you know, the banner came out and you know, there was an obvious face in front of it. Like I said, the look at me attitude, I must be loved kind of thing. Do you think there's an aspect of that behind it rather than...
On the face of it, only from what I... See, I don't know this lad. I don't know yet. You know, I've only known him from on Twitter and the social media platforms. On the face of it, that's what it looks like. But I think it's unfair of me to say, that, oh, yeah, that's definitely the problem, because I don't know the guy. Until I meet the guy, you know, I don't know. And I don't like the... cast opinions on people that I don't really know.
It's all right, Jeff. Take Danny's opinion. He's told me the bloke's an absolute bunder.
I've done a podcast with him and he's actually a nice bloke and he's fun. He's passionate about
it. It's not what you said.
Well, no, it isn't.
Yeah, but it's all right being passionate about it. But, you know, I can't see any positive unfurling the banner after we've just won 2-0 and, you know, we're still in the league. We've still got an outside chance of winning the league. Why would you sprinkle that? You know, it's just, I just don't think it's right, honestly.
Here you go, right? When it came out against Hull, I thought, and excuse my French, that's really cunty at the end of a win, right? And then you think to yourself, it's all about the whole suspense of will they, won't they at the end of a game. And, you know, these people think they're making a statement. Is it a statement to take that banner all the way to Barcelona, picture it on your hotel bed, do your little AFTV interview, and then not bring it up in the ground, not display it in the ground? Why'd you take it all that way? So you've got your exposure from the fact that the fans are expecting that banner, win, lose or draw against Barcelona. You know, it would have been a large task. We could have made it through. In the end, it didn't work out that way. But we've lost, and we've lost convincingly. They outplayed us. You know, some say they didn't even take it out of second gear. You know, there's your perfect chance.
It depends on where you're sitting, was it? Because if you're sat right up in the nosebleed section of it up in Barcelona, unless the writing's 10 foot tall, you never, no one's going to see it, are they?
Why do you take it and make such a big thing on Twitter and social media about the fact that it's in Barcelona with you and then not display it? That to me...
I thought it was confiscated, wasn't it?
I'd
read some. It was confiscated or whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
See, the thing is, once you take that banner into the stadium, the guys that hold it up, they know there is a big part of the Arsenal following that is surrounding them that don't agree with that banner. So it's actually creating a divide amongst the away supporters. When if it wasn't there, they'd all be concentrating on one thing, and that's just supporting the lads and giving off that good vibe and that positive vibe and trying to encourage them on to the next match.
I just don't see the point. Why do that? Why create a divide? And you know, soon enough, they'll be fighting each other in the stadium.
Well, you could see that on Saturday, couldn't you?
Yeah. Well, what are we doing to ourselves? We're eating ourselves. What the fuck is that? You know, it's just all go out there. We're supposed to be, you know, encouraging the boys on. What are we doing?
I don't get it. After the one of the games earlier in the season, I think it was after the Swansea one, or maybe it might have been.
It was Brighton last year.
No, this season it was. Who knocked us out of the FA Cup? Watford. After the Watford game, AFTV, they were talking about that there was actual fights.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
they got
it on video. Someone called Claude a perv, didn't they? And he punched someone.
I don't know what happened. But, yeah, there was, I think someone, it was one with the bottle. Always drinking out of a bottle with nothing in it. Someone apparently went for him. But they're all fighting with each other.
Not surprised.
Yeah, but why would you fight with your own?
I don't get it, mate.
But you know what makes me sick about this whole fucking scenario is the fact, right? Arsenal lose, and fans of other clubs wait for AFTV videos of our fans pissing and moaning outside the ground, talking to Robbie, right? And it's almost as if we've become some kind of a fucking long-running joke, like an embarrassment. I look at the AFTV videos and I think, I hope that cunt doesn't speak to me because I don't feel like that.
But let's be honest, boys, okay? Let's just hope, okay, that ban it's come out of two wins. If we win all the rest of our games this season, I hope it comes out after every single fucking match. Right, as long as we get 3 points after every game. Right?
The banner's been about since 2011.
Yeah, but the one thing the point you're trying to make here, Jeff, is those players seeing that banner, I hope it galvanises a bit of fight in them. You know, I hope they show their mettle for the manager. Right? I got my own views on that. You know, but it's not important. I don't have any effect over it. Neither does the banner, to be honest with you. You know, but let's hope it galvanises those players and puts a bit more fight and gives them an extra yard, gives them that extra metal to go out there and win games for the Arsenal. That's all I can fit.
The players do see it because, if I remember correctly, a couple of weeks back, after the win over Hull in the FA Cup, Aaron Ramsey came out and said that, you know, he was surprised and disappointed at the same time that he looked in the crowd and he saw that banner. You know, the players do see it, and I can't believe how anyone can feel, from a fan point of view, that that will have any kind of positive effect on the players.
Most of them probably don't read English. I know Gabriel won't give a fuck.
Most of these players, trust me, most of these players, right, do have a look and get the feel of the social media. And, you know, they might go on their account, although a lot of them don't run it, I know that. You know, a lot of the players, they don't ever go near it with regards to typing anything out. But they'll go and have a look, and they'll look at the social media platforms to see what people are thinking, how they're played, and, you know, they're just, they're footballers, they're egotistical. They're going to do that. And, you know, our Twitter is just absolutely insane. It's bipolar. We win a game, everything's sweet, everything's up, you know. We lose a game, bang, it's straight down the bottom, and this one's got to go, Kroenke's got to go, Gazidis has got to go, Flamini's shit, and what's the point? Just encourage, you've got to try and encourage the boys. You all got opinions, but come on. They go too strong, mate.
And I will say that we all know that there were banners in the ground on Saturday about the ticket pricing and all of that, and those banners, I think I can speak for all of us here when we're all for getting a better deal for the fans, but you know, the arson banners and the Wenger out and the, you know, all that, I think it's a very grey area, isn't it? And I think at times we've got to agree to disagree because we're never all going to be on the same page.
I'll tell you what would be interesting to see. Well, obviously he's going to get replaced one day. It'll be interesting to see how long these guys give the new manager before they start screaming the track down again.
5 minutes, first pre-season friendly, we draw with Barnet, it's all over. Burn the place down, that's what it'll be.
And everyone gives me stick saying, oh, I bet you're going to be the first one to be calling and saying, oh, well, I told you so if they have a bad run. Let me tell you now, I will give as much support to the new manager as I've done with Arsene Wenger. And if he's half as successful, mate, we've had a touch, trust me.
Yeah. No, I agree. Right then, I think that pretty much just about covers the Everton game, and we've swayed through a various few topics. But now it's time to go over to Danny, who has the best of the Twitter questions, don't you, Danny?
Well, not best of, just all of. It wasn't okay. Enough to pick best of.
Fair enough. Well, however long we've got left, leave 5 minutes for shout-outs and predictions. Oh, yeah. Jason's on this week. Leave 10 minutes for shout-outs.
An hour.
Yeah.
Oh, to hear that, Raz just laughed.
Hello!
You're right. Such a wanker.
Simon Hardwick, half of the Hardwick brothers, says, Whose would you keep? Oh, no, I've merged two of his questions into one here. He said, who would you keep, Walcott or Campbell? Mr. Gimley.
Campbell.
Well, in fact, would anybody disagree to keep Campbell over Walcott?
Yeah, I would.
Oh, I'd keep Thomas Rosicki over fucking Walcott.
go on, Jeff.
No, I would keep. I'd just about keep Theo. I think he does offer you a little bit more.
Oh, Jeff.
I tell you what, he's our hide and seek champion.
And then you know me. What are my thoughts on Theo? But I think we've seen the best of Joel Campbell. I really do already. I think that's what you. I could be wrong, but what you're seeing is what he's got. What you're seeing out of Theo is not the end product. I think there's still loads more.
But gee, I think 10 years. 10 years.
I can't argue with that.
I tell you, Jeff. I think your meerkat mate is rubbing off on you.
I think we need an upgrade on both of them. I think we need to go out and buy Marco Royce.
Exactly.
Yeah, fucking right, Dom. Said like a true champion.
Imagine that. Oh. People at home, stop rubbing yourself. Next question from Neil McKeown. No relation to Craig McKeown, an ex-Arsenal youth player. He says, he asked a couple of questions, but I'm going to go with this one. Ospina or Szczesny? Gimli.
Oh, Ospina.
Jeff?
Ospina.
Dom?
Yeah, have to go Ospina.
Jace?
Check.
I knew he was going to say that.
And the listeners at home and in their tractor? Oh, that's interesting. George Stevens says, if we get 79 points, one of our best tallies in the last 12 years, is it still an underachievement? Go on, Jeff.
It's a tough one, isn't it? You know, it's an underachievement this season, but if Tottenham and Leicester finish above us, there's no doubt about that.
Anyone else got anything else they want to say on this?
If we don't win the title, it's a massive underachievement.
Yeah, I agree with Jace.
So it's all in all, it's going to be. I'm just looking back at our previous seasons and how many points we
it's
got.
It's all going to be misery and tears come the summer.
I don't know where he's getting the 79 from. I mean, maybe he's just estimating. But last season we got 75, 79, 73, 70, 68, 75, 72, 83. 83 points and we come third.
We can win 79 points in total from our remaining games. That's what we can finish on.
I see. But for us to have got 83 points in 2007-08 and still only finished third, would 83 points win us the title this year, do you think?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh dear, that's making me sad. Right, next question. It is from Potty Mouth Nil. She says, if Wenger stays, in brackets likely, will our fans support him in one last attempt at the title, or will it be a full banner season, Dom?
Say that again?
Oh, for fuck's sake. Are you lot not listening to anything I say?
I'm listening.
Oh, go on.
They're long questions, you see.
I can guarantee if Arsene Wenger stays on and we go into next season with him still as manager, there will still be just as many people wanting him out, because I think the scars of time are too deep to heal for some.
Oh, look at you bloody. That's lyrics to a song, that is. Yes, write that down quickly.
Fuck
Dom,
me,
have you got the gist of the question there, Dom?
Yeah, I think we could win the title and people would still want him gone.
Yeah,
that's just it. They're so far down the rabbit hole that the hatred for the manager goes beyond, you know, what's logically best for the club. But that's I just don't care. I know that this is such a huge talking point at the moment, arson in, arson out. I couldn't give a shit, to be honest. I really do not care. I don't care who manages the club. I'll be critical of when I think that person's done something well. I'll be critical of if it was someone else. I'll be positive if I think they've done something well. But it just doesn't bother me because I don't have any control over it. So I'm not going to really let it get to me too much.
I was speaking to someone the other day on Twitter. I was aware, I'd say speaking, I'd been arguing.
Cutting them off.
Yes, basically. who claimed that he turned up to the FA Cup final against Aston Villa with a Wenger out t-shirt on. And I just think to myself, oh my word.
But he probably had Wenger in socks on.
Oh. It makes you put your hand, head in your hands and want to cry.
Oh, go on. You have a little tears while Jason tries to do some Welsh justice on this.
Oh, I just don't care.
Fair enough. Jeff?
I honestly think that the fan base is so toxic now that Wenger is a dead man walking. I can't see them coming back for the same reasons what Dom's already said. They're so backward in it now. It's impossible for them to turn round again and say, oh, you know, maybe I've made a mistake. And I think he'll go to 2017. I just think he'll hand over to somebody else in 2017.
Do you reckon he'll do what Alex Ferguson did and do one last hurrah and spunk all the money on someone just to win the title like he did Van Persie?
No. I just don't think he's that kind of person. I don't think he wants to leave us. He wants to leave us in a proper place, and I think he will do in the end as well.
Does anyone think that maybe he should spunk the entire war chest of 200 billion?
Yes.
I think he should.
I think he should throw it about like a monkey chucks his shit about the place. Okay, and I think he should buy all the players. Well, actually, one or two would be nice, but, you know, he needs to just go balls out one day and just enjoy himself, you know?
Do you think he should be like Gimli on Clean Underpants Day, where he just takes the old ones off and chucks them around, like with gay abandon?
I think he should be like Gimli in the weed shop.
Oh.
You know,
licking everything inside.
Oh,
that's in my back bedroom.
That's why I can't wait to see Pep next year. I really, really am so interested to see how he gets on, because he's got a hell of a team to build there. At Barcelona and at Bayern Munich, he more or less had a side. He had starters. At Man City, honestly, he's got
in the Europa League.
I bet he's got half a dozen. He'd maybe want to keep. And the rest of them, he'd want to bin him off. So
he's just going to be so happy. He's going to be like a monkey chucking his own shit at a wall.
Good. That's two monkey shit references. Dom, have you got anything to say on this before I move on?
No.
Fair enough. Straight into the point.
Monkey do.
Diablo says, who would the podcast's opinion be on who will be the most successful manager after Arsene Wenger's reign? In fact, should we just change that? Do you think any manager can be successful after Wenger?
I can do it. Owen Coyle.
Doing wonders for Colorado Rapids, I think.
Is he?
Huh?
Oh, I suppose.
Rubber dinghy Rapids, bro.
What the fuck was that?
Have you not seen... anyone tweet Gimli if he knows what rubber dinghy rabbits, bro.
What's so that's called? Just another failed joke. No one knows anything about the podcast. Four Lions. How many is that? 16 so far. This
17. Pod? I know. Okay, I want to get myself out. Does anybody think no matter what manager can come in? Because Diablo's saying, who do you think could be the most successful? Does anyone think anybody can?
What happened to Dragon? Stojkovic. Him, yeah.
Managing Nagoya Crown, not Nagoya anymore, it's just Grand Passay in Japan, I think it was. He's having a shit season, like he's done every single season he's been there, he's been shit.
Wasn't he handpicked?
Yeah, I'm sure there's
a bunch of managers out there that could do a fantastic job at Arsenal. The club's in such a great position to be able to give, you know, the manager every chance. But all I've got to say about it is I'm not scared of change. I'm not scared of someone else coming in. It doesn't frighten me, the thought of Arsene not being there next season. As long as the person that comes in has a philosophy that they want to stick to and has a certain you look at the two teams that are above us this season, Leicester and Tottenham, they have very distinct styles of how they've decided to play every single game this year. You look at Man United, Chelsea and City and us this year, and we don't seem to have that same style and that distinct pattern of football, because for whatever reason, Man City are here nor there, and Man United play sideways football. There's no football philosophy there that they had under Ferguson, and we've had that many injuries that we haven't been able to get our game that we like to play going. And you look at the two teams above us, they've just got simple pressing football, hit on a counter-attack, whatever it is that they decide to do with the players they've got. And that's all I want, is a manager that decides that he wants to play. That's why I think Pep will do well, because he will demand the players to play the way that he wants them to play, similar to how Mourinho did when he got to Chelsea. He'll just demand that the players play his way of football. That's all I want, is a manager that has basically will stick the middle finger up to everybody else and say, this is how I believe that I'm, you know, that we're going to win the league with the players, and this is what I want to do, and crack on and let's give it a shot.
And the first thing that'll be levelled at him is, you got no plan B.
I think that
if plan A works more often than not, you don't really need a plan B, do you?
But someone pointed out on one of the, I think it was Radio 5, they said, you got Liverpool wanting to get rid of half their squad. Man City, you need to get rid of half of it. So do Man United, so do Chelsea, so do Arsenal. So each one of us needs to get rid of about 10 players each. I think that the Chinese embassy in London is going to be busy handing out work permits this summer.
I'm not being funny. We don't need to get rid of half our squad. We just need to bring in 3 or 4 good players.
I can think of 8 that we could get rid of this season quite easily.
You don't need to, though. But the point is, you know, you get rid of your Rositsky, your Flamini, your Arteta, okay? You bring in a wide forward, a centre forward, and 2 good midfielders, and you're okay. Right? Okay, we could add a centre back, right? But you don't need to get rid of everyone. You bring in, you know, some solid players, and all of a sudden we're golden.
I think we need too many. I think we are. I genuinely think that there's a case that whoever said that is correct. You go, we need a right back. Debussy's gone. We're going to need a centre-back. We're going to need probably a left-back if Gibbs goes. We're going to need 1, maybe 2 midfielders.
If Gibbs goes.
Yeah, but, I mean, looks okay. Right-back, a centre-back, 2 midfielders. Two midfielders and a wide forward.
You're Chambers right-back, okay?
That's a whole lot of players, Jace.
He won't bring that many players in 1 window.
Exactly.
In the world.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And if we'd gone out and got 1 or 2 of those in the last couple of transfer windows, we wouldn't need to go out and get that many.
Centre-half.
You're spot on, Don. Spot on.
Centre-half, a right-sided midfield player who acts as a winger at the same time, and a striker. We can get it. And I think we'd be on.
Yeah,
I think we need another midfielder.
Two midfielders for certain, okay? But you know, we you need a striker and a wide forward, maybe a centre back, right? But we don't need to sell all these players either. You know, would I like to see Theo go? Yeah, but you don't need to get rid of him. Do you know what I mean? It's a case of there's a lot of panicking at the moment because we've had a bad run of 2 months. You know, we're not in that much dire straits. We've still got a good squad. We've just underperformed badly this season. That's the problem.
Granit Xhaka's been strongly talked about in the papers. So has Alvaro Morata.
Xhaka Khan.
Granit Xhaka. Anybody be happy with him? I mean, from what I've seen of him, he seems like a hell of a player.
Plays in Germany, doesn't he?
Yeah, for Munch. Is it Mönchengladbach?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think that it's just opportunistic journalism with international break coming up. So you're going to link the club with us and Wenger replacements and players and things, and because not much to talk about, and rile the Arsenal fans up because it's probably the easiest job in journalism. So why not?
I mean, I'm just
it is. So, you know, I mean, yeah, I think to answer your question, I think he is a pretty decent, handy player, and that he would definitely be an upgrade over some of the players that we have. So, yep.
Gim, get your socks and shoes off. I'm going to be counting past 10. You ready? Okay. Chesney's got to go.
Yeah.
He won't stay. Debucci's going to go.
Yeah.
Gibbs, I don't know. Don't know about any of these. Rosicky's going to go. Arteta's going to go.
Yeah.
And
Flamini will go.
Hold on. Walcott is probably going to go.
Sonogo?
Hold on. Flamini. He's going to go. Sonogo probably going to go. Where else are we down to? Yep, so they're the ones that... How many is that?
That is 7.
7, and that's not even being picky. And that's before you add in the likes of Gibbs and the Ox and all these other ones that have been rumoured by the bullshit papers to go. And then Jenkinson, I don't think Wenger wants him because he's had 2 seasons
on loan. But who says that Campbell's not going to want to be there? I mean, he's made a serious statement for Arsenal this season. And, you know, he must be looking
ignored.
He must be looking at that situation from the bench and gone, do you know what? The passes that I played this season, I've scored a few this season, you know, the fans really like me. Why am I not getting in this team? That time when Chamberlain played above him, what the fuck?
Boys, hold up, yeah. Let's get our crystal balls out and let's hypothesise some more, is it? You know, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's save that for the summer.
Very little is
I would have no problem if any of those players you mentioned there, Danny, if they all fucked off in the summer, it would not bother me one iota.
We look at Campbell, 16 goals, 16 games, 3 goals and 4 assists, and he still can't get a game.
Listen to the street. In the January transfer window pod, I turned around to you and I said, we needed to buy more players. Oh, but what happens if clubs won't sell? We don't have to sell players. If they're under contract, we don't have to fucking sell them.
Of course we don't, but what if we
don't know
what if we want to?
About this. We're not going to.
Last time Jeff was on this podcast, he said if we're going to win the league, we can't have any passengers. All of those players have been passengers in one way, shape or form. They've either not made the grade, been injured, not been good enough. Why keep a player at the club that's not Arsenal quality? It makes no sense. You're just pissing money down the drain.
They haven't hardly any of those guys have been in the first team squad, have they? Let's be honest.
Why keep them?
Yeah, but you don't need to replace all those players. This is the thing. You don't replace Deadwood to Deadwood. You replace them with better players. You don't need to keep them all. They're not going to have any impact if they leave because they've had no impact this season. So why worry about it? They've not been part of any plans this year, have they? You know, you don't replace players who don't play.
I could probably count on one hand the players in our squad that I could say to you that have been consistently above average all season. And that Petr Cech, Hector Bellerin, Monreal. That's it. I think maybe. That's it. That's probably the only, what's that, three? That I could mention. Sanchez has been hot and cold. Mesut Ozil, you could probably add to that as well, because Mesut Ozil has been phenomenal this season.
First half of the season, yeah.
But
then we've got three players
player
are definitely going,
because
Flamini, Arteta, and Rosicky, their contracts end on the 30th of June. So that's three that are definitely going.
Yeah, but Rosicky's played no part this season.
No, nothing.
Arteta's played no part other than WBA home, of course, where he was, he'll do a job. You know. Come on.
But the thing is with that, Jace, is that if you go out and you have, instead of Arteta, you have, say, Granit Xhaka, then he would be playing and he would be useful.
Yeah.
That's the difference, right?
No problem that. But, you know, I said that in the January transfer window. I said it in the summer one. And all of a sudden, you know, I got told there's no players available. There's no this, there's no that. Well, you know, are there going to be any players available this summer? You know what
okay,
I mean?
We're getting nowhere, really. Yeah, so should we move on to the next question?
It's hypothesising over nothing.
All right, next one from Dermot says, would it bother any of you lot if Walcott of the Ox were sold to direct rivals this summer? No, I wouldn't give a shit. Anyone? Would anyone care?
Yeah, I would, definitely.
Who would you like them not to go to?
Well, I don't want to go to any of our direct rivals. It's as simple as that. I still think the Ox is a player, mate. I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I'd keep him.
Walcott, you know, it's difficult with Walcott, isn't it? But, you know, maybe now is the time that we have got to let him go. But I don't want him to, because you know what's going to happen. He'll come back, he'll bite us on the arse. You know it will. It always does. So let's see what happens. Interesting to see. It'd be interesting this summer, wasn't it?
Anyone else?
Yeah, I'd keep Ox and Theo. I don't really care.
Chase or Kim?
I couldn't care about Theo Walcott whatsoever. I'm not bothered about Ox, to be honest. You know, he's had enough chances as well.
Maybe we should stop buying players from Southampton.
All these people writing our players off. I just don't understand it, mate.
The boy does not learn. The guy, he plays heads-down football, okay? He, you know, his decision-making is awful. It's awful. He wants to play in the middle of the park. His passing is poor. And I would love these guys to prove us wrong. I would love them to prove us wrong. I've never, ever, ever not backed our players, okay? But after a while with Theo Walcott, I've just given up. And, you know, an Ox this season, well, the poor bugger, he's, you know... It's not been a great season. Come on, it's been bloody poor.
You get dangerous though there, Jace, because if you start going down that route, we'll end up like Man City and Chelsea, where a kid gets two games, they don't produce, so they get on the bench and they get sold. You know, Aaron Ramsey would not be at Chelsea or Man City under the same circumstances that he had at Arsenal, because he wasn't performing, he wasn't doing well, the fans were on his back, and the manager stuck with him and believed in him enough to play him into form, and he had one of the, you know, best midfield bits of form that I've ever seen in a Premier League. And that game, that 16-game stretch that he had was unbelievable. And he would not have had a chance to do that had he been at another club. But Theo Walcott is 27 years old. He's had enough chances. Oxlade-Chamberlain, I'm not sure. That's why I would keep Ox and Theo could piss off.
I don't disagree with you on Ox, okay, but I'm not bothered. I'm not bothered whether he stays at Ghost, to be honest with you, because I just don't see the guy improving. Okay, this guy's an England player. He's had enough chances, okay? Right, you know, maybe I'm being harsh on him. Fair enough.
He's 22.
He's an England player. He's been with us now 5 years? 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, since he was 17, I think.
Okay, he's been with us 4 or 5 years. Don't tell me he's not had a chance. Okay, I'd love to see him prove me wrong. I'd love to see him grab 15 goals a season and ram these words down my throat. But that's all you ever see is him run down with his head down, and you know he doesn't look for opportunities. It's the same old story with him, time and time again. You can't knock his effort. You can't knock his attitude. He's a lovely guy. He's a lovely player, but he's got to sooner or later improve his game. And he's shown no signs of that. No signs whatsoever. He's had one good game this season and one great goal.
Yes, right. Hanif Guna has asked the question about how many squad changes we need. We've already covered that. Ahmed Nada from sunny Egypt has said, why can't we support the manager while Chelsea fans did? So we've already covered that. Gentle German Guna, pointless question, but he says, for Jeff, if he wants, who would you rather see go, Ozil or Wenger? The answer to that, Jeff, neither.
Neither. Stupid question.
There you go, you silly German Guna.
Go on, make him pick one. Jeff, you have to pick one.
Well, I just don't see the point in it.
Go on, it's fun. It's all about having we're here to have fun. I've got the party poppers out.
One's a manager, one's a footballer. Totally different.
But go on, just in the interest of fun.
No, there's no fun over here, mate.
Oh,
no fun. He's not here for fun.
He's not here for fun.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I'd pick Mikel Arteta.
You fucking hate him.
Just stroking my pussy because he's wet.
Lovely.
Now go on, piss off your dirty shit. It comes in soaking wet every time. Right, here we go. I'll make sure this is applicable. Oh, okay. Paul W., in Jeff's esteemed view, we got a fan, Jeff, what are the odds of Arsenal leaving? Thanks.
You mean Arsenal leaving?
What did I say?
You said Arsenal leaving.
Yeah, all right then, Arson, if you want to be picky.
What do you mean? When? What? Now? I mean, he's definitely going to leave the club one day.
One day? He'll give you 6-4 on that he will one day.
We're fucking failing.
I think Paul probably means end of the season.
No, it's not going to happen, mate.
No, I don't think
absolutely
so. He never quits early, does he?
No chance.
And he's not going to get sacked.
No so, chance. To be fair, okay, with all the nonsense goes on Arsene Wenger, I hope he lives to 160 and he leaves the club in his coffin and he's 160. And it pissed so many people off. He'd be brilliant.
They'll all have died and gone off to support Chelsea.
Oh, you know, it would be really, really funny, apart from being absolutely unbelievable, if we did go on and win the league this year.
It would be great.
Fucking hell. I swear to God.
Do you know the funny thing is, I still think we can do it. I genuinely still think we can do it.
Well, it'd be so Arsenal, mate. We'd do stupid things like that.
One injury to Kane or Vardy or Mahrez, and that's it.
Never know, mate.
They're finished. Okay, Matthew Harris asks, are the big spending media stories genuine or just a spin to renew season tickets? What do you reckon, Dom?
I don't think it's anything to do with season tickets. I think it's just journalists, like I said, being opportunistic. It's so easy when Arsenal have the biggest online presence of any fan base in the Premier League to link X, Y and Z players with the club and to cause a little bit of outrage, and we're so easily stirred up. It's poking a bee's nest. It'd be the easiest job in journalism is just to go, okay, well, what do we need today? Well, there's an international break on, so let's just link some players with Arsenal, link some managers there and get them all riled up and it'll be funny. Like I said, it's stupidly easy and it gets a bunch of hits and clicks, and you know what, if it didn't work they wouldn't do it, so we can't buy the amount of players that we're linked to, we can't buy them all, can we?
Do you think those journalists have got a little pool going who could get the most death threats?
Yeah, wouldn't you, Jase? Yeah, if it was you and me at the journo, if you and me were journos, Jase, you can't tell me that we wouldn't be sitting there pissing ourselves. And I've spoken to someone that's connected with ABW who is in the media, and he said that quite often that they can just rehash stories from overseas and say, you know, according to sources in France.
Because they use Twitter as a source, don't they?
Exactly. And so it's just, you can start anything and it gains traction over Twitter. I wouldn't pay any attention to any of it whatsoever.
So you know the pool I'd have going, okay, to see which one of us can get Chris Carpenter calling it lazy journalism the most. You know, that would be the one for me. That would be the one for me.
I do think that ABW should start its own transfer rumour this summer.
Yeah, we can do that. Easy.
No, we'll sully our names. What little names we have left.
Oh, no, come on. If we've learned anything from Mo, it's that we have absolutely no credibility among the fan base whatsoever.
I've got the blindfold. I've got the dartboard. Let's rock. We can have so much fun with this. Chris Carpenter to Southwater AFC, first of all.
No, not them splitters. That's not happening.
Oh, he'd go.
Jeff would be a better person to ask that question to, I think.
The bit of Pirates news, I forgot to say, they were 3-0 down the other day and they won 4-3, and then they lost 3-0 to a team. I think it was 3-0 to a team that was in second place.
You bored me at a bit of Pirates news.
I should say a big congratulations to the Pirate himself. He's found himself a new vessel this week.
Ah, has he?
Oh, he has.
It's a cardboard.
The Pirate Carpenter coming to a bus shelter near you any day now.
But I hear it's owned by Stagecoach. It's his landlord.
That's lazy journalism. That's just lazy journalism, that is.
What can I say, Jase? I'm a whore for hits and clicks.
Oh, lovely job.
Do you say hits and clicks or hipster clicks?
Oh, either way, I'm happy.
Okay, next question from Syracuse Gooners. Yeehaw, I'm sure they're saying.
Syracuse.
What did I say?
Syracuse. It's Syracuse.
The same fucking thing. Get back in your box. It's week number one of next season.
That's number Wang.
Hey, it's week number one of next season. Which two start in the holding midfield position? Cock, Elneny, Santi, Ramsey, Jack, etc. That is a bloody good question. It's the first time we've asked one of theirs. So well done. Jeff, go on. And who's going to be your midfield two?
I fancy it will be Coughlin and Santi.
Well, that's my answer.
If we don't recruit somebody else.
Okay, Gimli.
Oh, I think there's got to be a bender in there, hasn't there?
Which one? There's two. Oh. Lars or the other?
No, I think Lars Spin. Is probably my bet. I think we're going to go big for Lars Bender in the summer.
And you're a big fan of the benders.
I love the benders. Either one of them, Lars or Sven.
How about a double bender? Would you be in for that?
I would be happy with either of the benders next to a cock.
Excellent. Jase. Follow that.
Javier Mascherano.
Yeah.
You just couldn't play, could you? You just couldn't play along. Not for
he's taken
go.
His funny shaped ball I'm and he's fucking
playing,
gone
I'm,
home.
I'm not playing with you, benders and cock, okay? Right, I'm just not doing it, bro.
If we get a fanny in midfield, would that help you out?
No, I thought a fanny was at left back.
He's a right back.
Is he? A right back?
Those fannies get around, don't they?
I thought fannies were front backs.
Oh, Jesus.
Dom, how many? You can't have two Royces. You can't clone him and play him in central midfield twice. So what are you going to pick?
He's trying to
be devious.
No. I'd go Coughlin and Ramsey.
Cahill.
Timmy up top. He'd score goals in our team.
He would.
He'd bang.
Yeah, like he did in the World Cup. He was brilliant. Shit, yeah. He scored 25 goals in 45 games in China.
There you go. Superstar. Get him in. He's probably earning more than he would at Arsenal. Doesn't need to. Coughlin Ramsey for me.
Oh, yeah, that would be my second choice. Okay, one final question, and I think this is a brilliant question from another. I think it's in America. Guna in Cali. He says, or she says, or they say, if Manchester United, Manchester City and Chelsea finish outside the Champions League spots, and I'm adding, which is highly realistic, can Wenger's consistent top four finishes be argued as valuable? Jeff, preach.
I just think it's an amazing achievement, believe me. And I think whoever comes in, I think they've got a massive, massive task to get us into the Champions League every single season.
Will it be a touch of the Alan Kirbishley effect at Charlton? We want more than what happens. They end up in the third tier.
It's going to be really difficult anyway because, you know, for what Wenger has done for the club, he's been here so long. And it is difficult taking over from another manager, isn't it? There's no doubt about it. You know, that someone's going to come in and they're going to change it. I've no doubt they will. They want their own men in their own back room and their own the way they play. It's going to be very difficult. I just think someone's going to struggle. I hope they don't. I hope they prove me wrong. But, you know, change, I know, is sometimes good. But when a man has been at the club for so long, I think it'll take a little bit of time to get used to the change.
What's the dog situation? Are they wanting their cake?
Yeah, you got me, mate. You got me.
Well, that is the last question. Dom, what do you think?
Well, he's got to go at some stage, doesn't he? We can't, you can't sort of keep holding on to the fact that, well, he's been there a long time and it will be difficult for someone else, so we Baines will just keep, you know, sticking with the same guy. The fact that he's made Champions League every season that he's been there is unbelievable, is fantastic. When you see that other clubs have had bigger spending power and managers come and go and they've not been able to achieve the same thing. But, you know, if you were to ask, would I mind being out of the Champions League one season? Personally, I wouldn't care too much. But the only reason I want us to be in there every season is because I know that the players, it's a massive, massive big deal to the players. And you're not going to attract the likes of your Ozils and your Sanchezes and Petacheks and people like that if you're not playing in Champions League football. And we've seen what happens once you get out of it, like a Liverpool. It's very difficult to get back in. So it's definitely... definitely a very, very important competition to be in. But as far as the next manager coming in and doing that, I can't see us making it every year for the next 19, 20 years or whatever it's been.
There you go. Jace, if you can hold back the tears because Wales are losing.
No, we've just equalised.
Have you?
Davey Boyd, suck on that.
Oh, isn't he Scottish?
No, Davey Boyd's at Northern Irish. Good boy, Davey. No, look, it's a, you know.
Is he still in the Navy?
I have no idea. I'm not sure which way it's.
First it's rubber dinghy rapids, now it's this. No one's got any fucking idea.
No, you know, come on. You know, you look at the achievement, you look at the money United have spent and not made it. You know, if they don't make Champions League, it costs them 20, 30 million with Adidas or something like that. You know, it costs them a massive amount of money. Combined with that, the prestige of it. Fourth place is not a trophy. Let's make no bones about it. It's not a trophy. But it's a hell of an impressive achievement. You know, that level of consistency. And people will try to justify it with the money spent and so forth. But Leicester have blown that out of the water this season, haven't they? You know?
So it's Spurs.
Yes, yeah, so Spurs have spent a hell of...
Oh, no, let's not forget. Spurs spent the Gareth Bale money. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Well, they give it away.
But look, let's be fair, guys. It's a huge achievement. You know, it's not going to go on forever. It never does. You know, you've got to respect the achievement whilst acknowledging it's not a trophy. You know, you look at the money Chelsea have spent. Chelsea, when they won the Champions League, they finished outside the top four. You know, it was the funniest thing. As much as I hated them winning the Champions League, it was actually funny to watch Tottenham not get Champions League football. You know, you've got to appreciate exactly what the guy has achieved and still, you know, acknowledge it is not a trophy. You know, whatever we want to say, it's not a trophy. It's not an FA Cup. It's not Premier League. But having top flight into Champions League football year in, year out, we've become rather spoilt as a fan base, you know. And the money it brings in, the prestige, you know, that revenue and prestige is important to the club. And it's only going to get more important as the money gets bigger. So, you know, you've got to give Arsene Wenger credit, but you've also got to be realistic with it.
Before we move on, George Bird has just tweeted that Arsenal youngster Reece Nelson, who's only 16, scored twice for England under-17s. They beat Turkey under-17s 3-1. Go on, you gooner. Get in. Future legend.
Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
Thank you very much. We shall now finish off the show with predictions.
With a song.
Just with predictions and shout-outs. The next game is Watford. So we'll go Jace.
4-0 to the Arsenal. Danny Welbeck to score first.
Danny?
I reckon it's going to be 3-0 like it was at their place. And Iwobi, again, the legend, the man's going to get a hat-trick.
Fair enough, Dom.
Got no chance of
they
that.
Just beat us recently, didn't they? Knocked us out of the FA Cup.
Shh, yeah. that didn't happen.
Yeah, they'll probably do that again. Ospina own goal, he'll off his left testicle.
Seriously, do you just not want to win the prediction?
He was the only one who got the Watford one right.
Yeah, absolutely. He's settled down. I was the only one that tipped us to lose, and guess what
happened? Dom knows.
If you're going to go for Ospina own goal, he's got to chuck it into his own net again, isn't he? Come on.
Left testicle.
No, seriously, Dom, you'd have more chance by saying his neck.
He hasn't got one.
Exactly. And finally, Jeff.
What's the predictions league looking like, boys? Can I know?
I'm right up your ass, Jeffrey.
I can't feel you, mate. I can't feel you.
You should be a distance away.
You sound the kid,
there. Do anyone know what are scores on the doors?
I think it's you at the top of the league. There was a little bit of controversy.
Yes,
the last
Jeffrey
one
did
because
put his in.
You didn't get yours in, and so Raj has put his size threes down and gone, no, this
what?
Is not happening.
What
so
do you mean?
He said you're not allowed to because you predicted the Barcelona one. You said 2-1 loss, didn't you, or something?
Yeah.
What game was it?
What game
was
it?
No, it was
the
Everton
game.
No, it was Barca.
Barca, and you predicted that Barcelona would win 2-0, but you didn't get it to me in time, so Raj has said nil pois.
But I get a point for I said Barca would win, surely.
No, nothing.
Like,
nothing.
You get two nil.
All I'm saying is, you snooze, you lose, my friend.
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
The game.
I've not updated it for the Everton game, but before the Everton game, it was Jeff on 48, Raj on 43, and the tiebreaker is how many you got 100% right, and you both got two. Gimli on 37 with one correct.
No, fuck off. I got this week exactly right.
Did you? I said not Everton. Silly
fucking
young man.
Add Everton onto that.
All right, here you go. Right. Everton, he's got two.
Jeff
literally.
Couldn't give a fuck. The vicar is going to do a Tottenham on us and crumble within the next couple of weeks. I told you, it's mine.
And we've got
add
a Yank
points
in,
on, biatch.
A Yank in fourth place.
Yeah, but
Jesus.
Hold on. So, yeah. I said 2-0 the other weekend, didn't I? That's my default score, isn't it?
Yeah, certainly, I think.
No. You can fuck off. We're not doing that default score shit.
Oh, no, before the game, I put it's going to be 2-0 Theo default score. And everyone agreed.
Yeah, that's right. That's...
And then Raj predicted a
draw.
No,
but hold on. You know, if I'd have caught that, right?
Yeah.
I would have. They're lucky, these fuckers, because I would have said 2-0 Welbeck, because I normally pick the centre forward, as you well
off.
Know.
Oh, fuck off. All right, Paddy Power. Chill your beans.
So you're lucky. I've given you a chance, mate. But I've got the score right. You're lucky I didn't get the 5 points. I'd have brought the bus out, I'm telling you.
Jeff has been predicting with little bit handbrake on lately.
Yeah,
he's careful.
I've been trying to pull him back into it, though, Dom.
Jeff has been predicting without little bit give a fuck.
A little bit jaded.
I couldn't be bothered. Little bit, I'm not going to answer my WhatsApp. Sort it out, Jeff.
All I'm going to say is the Watford game, Dom predicted 7-0 loss and Wenger. He got 1 point. You lot got nothing. Early on in the season, he predicted Hull would beat us 15-0. You got that one wrong.
In all fairness, Dom is the only one that gives less of a fuck than Jeff, and Jeff is the top of the league. How has it even happened?
There you go. So I'll update the scores in a few days, and Jeff's still got the trophy.
Hey, Danny's dyslexia is causing me to lose points. He can't spell Welbeck properly. It's disgraceful.
You spelt Welbeck Walcott, didn't you? It's not your fault you got it wrong.
Ozil.
you went to English Wales Translate and it fucked up for you.
I'm not being funny, boys. You can't speak them, Welsh. It's not my problem.
You know what Danny said? I'm not telling you who made this prediction. And it's like, that's so clearly Davis.
And then he went, I didn't mean that. I went, no, I didn't even tell him it was you yet. Come on, get on with this.
He went, oh, it was only a joke.
No one knew it was him.
I was joking with it because he was joking.
I know.
But it was just...
I'm going 2-0 Welbeck. Like, the shout-outs. And I will start off with the shout-outs. My shout-out went to the person that made me laugh the most. And he was Uncle_Hair, who sent me a vine of a tiger biting a fat woman's nipple.
It's a leopard, and I've seen it on repeat about 70 times now.
Isn't it awesome? Did you see the look
amazing.
On her face?
It's the most action her nipples have seen for a while, by the looks of her.
Has anyone seen the picture of Rafa Benitez being slapped on the chest by Jonjo Shelvey? Oh, my word. I have watched, literally, it's had millions of views, but I bet at least 100,000 of them are mine. Anyway, Uncle_Hair, go and give him a follow. Danny.
I'm going to go to Dan_AFC90. We have an ABW FIFA team thing, and you go and watch the videos. Not telling you which player he is because he's top secret. He is mustard, as Jeff would say. The boy is unbelievable. He's fantastic in it. Yeah. So that, and hello to all of our ABW FIFA club people. You're doing wonders.
He's literally right. He's that good at FIFA. He's got no more fingerprints left
because it's like real life.
Yes.
Anyway, well done, Dan, and all you lot.
Yes. Jeff.
You didn't even ask me what my score was going to be, you know.
That's because you fucking dillied and dallied.
No, never, mate. Well,
don't act like you care now.
I was talking about the position where everybody was, and I had a good idea.
Two-nil Welbeck, that's where you're going.
I had a good idea that I was at the top of the league, you know.
Oh, but come on, bleat it out.
I'm going to go 2-1 Welbeck, right? And my shout out goes to the great Johnny O'Neill, JonnyOneill. He's a legend on Twitter, mate. Honestly,
wonderful. Dom,
my shout out goes to Matt, who is at Cockblock, because I asked who wants a shout out, and he said me. So there you go.
In its simplest form. Thank you very much, Jace.
No fucking around.
Yeah. Oh, not Jace. Like this twat. Seriously, it's like a long pause. Fashionably late. Dickhead.
I think he's died.
I think he's doing it deliberately.
I think
he's attention seeking.
Hello! Sorry, guys. Calamity Jane, at Sweet AFC Jane. She made me laugh yesterday with a picture.
She's brilliant, mate.
Yeah. She sent me a picture of Gunnosaurus and Hector Bellerin because I was thinking of crying. Because I imagining people flying planes over the Emirates with Wenger out signs, and she cheered me up. So thank you very much. You're a star.
And did you brownie either?
He doesn't do brownies anymore.
I've got to be honest.
On a diet.
Gunnosaurus is looking a bit green.
Oh.
and they're both riding a Zorse. I'm just going to retweet it.
It's only because you've been eating too much asparagus that he's green. Is that us done with the shout outs?
I see you've changed your name to your real name on your Twitter account, you little shit.
I have.
Oh.
I've been Dick Trickle. Yeah. I've been Darius Sputnik.
Spunk Trumpet.
It's Arnold Spunk Trumpet.
If anyone ever sends us an email, oh Lord, Alan. We like Alan.
We
don't even Alan. Mention oh, why.
Are we going to mention him, the
yes.
Dutch master?
Yeah, get us the game. He's going to round it off with that.
I think we should. We should say that tonight's show is dedicated to Johan Cruyff. As many of you will already know, he unfortunately passed away today. You know, I think many of you listening to this show, or many of the panelists on it, would have grown up watching him. Just an exceptional player. An absolute talent. Is there any of you guys that want to come in on this? Just speak about his genius.
I never saw him play. Only Jeff did, I think.
Oh, what a player, mate! Honestly, he was. I didn't really see much of Pelle, Bobby Charlton, but he was never up at that height. But and a little bit of Bestie before he obviously, you know, he had the demons, didn't he? He hit the bottle. But Cruyff, we didn't see too much with regard to, we didn't obviously have the television coverage back in them days. But what we did see, you know, we see all the World Cups and all that. And mate, he was a proper, proper footballer. And it's such a shame. But he smoked a lot, didn't he? So, you know.
He gave up in 2001.
Yeah, I know. But I should imagine the damage was done then. I think he was smoking 40 or 50 a day back then.
Well, he was nuts, wasn't he? Yeah. There's stories of him smoking a fag in one hand, signing autographs in the other, then swapping hands to keep on smoking.
Ah, Schrader told us that.
Yeah. I that made me laugh. But he was just a worldie, wasn't he?
He's a proper football legend, that man, though. You know, and he went on, he did it at the club level as well, didn't he, with regards to manager and everything else. So.
When he was manager of Barcelona, apparently his ethos was you should always pass the ball to the player running onto it. They should never have to stop to take the ball, you know. It should always be in their path and so forth. So simple but so effective, you know. The way that he thought about the game, it was just, guy, you know, the guy who is one of the all time greats, isn't he?
Certainly, it's only 68 years old. So sad to lose people that early.
Yeah.
Not good.
R.I.P. to a legend. Mm. So it is with heavy hearts that we end this week's show. Thank you so much to all of my guests, Jason, Dom, and Jeff. Danny, unfortunately, you have to be here.
I tried not being here. You hunted me down.
I did. I pulled you by your beard.
You did.
So that was a Burkamp Wonderland podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and keep it Arsenal. Good night.
Once I was 7 years old, my mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. It was a big, big world, but we thought we were bigger, pushing each other to the limits. We were learning quicker. By 11, smoking herb and drinking burning liquor. Never rich, so we were out to make that steady figure. Once I was 11 years old, my daddy told me, go get yourself a wife or you'll be lonely. Once I was 11 years old. So I started writing songs, I started writing stories. Something about that glory just always seemed to bore me, cause only those I really love will ever really know me. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told before the morning sun when life was lonely. Once I was 20 years old. Only see my goals, I don't believe in failure, cause I know the smallest voices, they can make it major. I got my boys with me, at least those in favor, and if we don't meet before I leave, I hope I'll see you later. Once I was 20 years old, my story got told, I was writing about everything I saw before. Songs have been sold. We've traveled around the world and we're still roaming. Soon we'll be 30 years old. I'm still learning about life. My woman brought children for me, so I can sing them all my songs and I can tell them stories. Most of my boys are with me, some are still out seeking glory, and some I had to leave behind. My brother, I'm still savvy. Soon I'll be 60 years old. My daddy got 61. Remember life and then your life becomes a better one. I made a man so happy when I wrote a letter once. I hope my children come and visit once or twice a month. Soon I'll be 60 years old. Will I think the world is cold? Or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
Three, two, one. Hello.
Hello!
Too soon, Jace. Too soon.
Why do we invite this knobhead back?
You need a mute button on your end so you can just mute.
Yeah, Danny, can we mute him?
You can neuter him. It's about 42 years too late.
I got work to go and do after this. Hurry the fuck up.
Right. Hello and welcome to a...
Yes, I haven't podded with G for ages. How are you, time. G?
Yeah, I'm sweet, mate. Bang on, as normal.
He sounds like he's got a cold.
I've been listening to your New Year's Day mix. I'm quite enjoying that. I do like it.
I've got a new one coming out soon, mate. I'll be hot off the shelves, mate, I'm telling you.
Who mixes it for you?
What do you mean?
You can't even turn a computer on your own. You have to get one of the kidlings to do it.
Joking. The one thing I can do is to mix a few records together, mate. It's not hard. Don't worry.
You've got it all digital done up with a CD and a recorder and that lot.
Yeah, I can do it. You know, I can do it straight off. I got one of those machines. I slide my iPad into the DJ decks.
Yeah.
Hello.
And that works as all me tracks and everything. All me music's on that. So I just file it straight across. Brilliant.
Do you get a glitter ball up in the air just to give you get your white flares on from the 70s?
Oh, man, I'll tell you. Take me back. I break out every now and again. I go out maybe 3-4 times a year.
God, I don't even do that.
Get off, mate. Different class. Different
class. A little bit of bass and let's go nuts. And I'm not just talking about the music.
Yeah.
You there, Dom?
I'm here.
It's good to hear that you listen to it, though, Jace.
Yeah.
I've put it on a few times.
Good.
I want to listen to more of the Santa Maria stuff from young Dominic.
Not for a while, you won't be.
He's abandoned them.
I have. The creative genius has disappeared.
What, someone died?
No, I've left the country.
Oh.
Tell you what, boys, Wales, Northern Ireland tonight. I hope we don't fucking lose Davy Boy.
Is that fucking egg chasing?
You got no players, have you?
No, we got the kids out, I think, and we're down to the third division now.
They're all signing autographs in Merthyr Tesco's. I always see some of them fucking rugby players in there. Who's the fucking frilly haired cunt, Jace?
Oh, that Adam Jones, he's a prick.
That's the one.
He lives up there, he's a prick, yes.
Is he?
Yeah, big time Charlie. Big fish, small pond.
They're getting decent money now, these rugby players, though, aren't they, I think?
Some of them are. I'll tell you what, who's the boy, Dan Carter? He's on a £1 million a year contract.
No. Fucking egg chasing.
Yeah, not being funny, when you look at the TV deals and stuff like that, it's different. Yeah, you can't compare rugby to football, but, you know, there's some bang average players at the Blues on $100,000 a year, and they're fucking awful. I'm not being funny, I'm going to get my knee done, cortisone injection, one last season, boys.
One last hurrah. Get it up, 'em.
I was shit when I could play.
Imagine if they got Gimli playing for the other side. Oh, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
Oh, fucking hell.
You'd ruin him.
Not being funny, boys. All of you. I'd love to have a go. You know, not being funny. Not a nastiness, but you know what? You've got to test yourself in here.
You're not browning me.
Hey.
I see Australia were back to full form. Don beat Tajikistan 7-0. How do you feel?
Haven't seen a iota of it, to be honest.
35,000 people were there.
Surprised he's not soiled himself with excitement. I would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, international football does not interest me unless it's the World Cup.
Oh, you can forget that for a while then.
Yeah.
Oh, the kid plays for Celtic. Well, he scored a couple of goals.
Ooh.
Rogic.
Rogic, yeah.
I've never heard of him.
Another one plays for Tokyo. There's actually a young man playing in the Australian League at the moment who's banging in the goals. He's got like 17 in 19, but I was asking, and they said he's nowhere near the national team. They don't want him.
No idea.
Five's at the bootleg Beatles tonight, I gather, is he?
Yeah.
Backstreet Beatles.
Royal Albert Hall.
I'd tell you what, no way Fife's luck, okay? Ringo and fucking Paul McCartney will turn up.
And they'll do a seance for the other two.
Yeah.
The Reverend will bring those two back from the dead.
Just for Fife.